Hey, what's up, everybody? Krista here with the Krista and Ed Show. And today we have an amazing boss babe. Her name is Patricia Katicki, and she is joining us all the way from Victoria, BC. And she is going to drop some serious gold and insight into what it takes to building your business as a real estate agent. Stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss this. Welcome to the Krista and Ed Show. This is where we are going to document our journey on everything partnership in love and in business. We are not holding anything back, guys. So if you want to learn about online marketing and what goes on in an everyday life of a husband and wife, making these two things work together, make sure you follow us. And guess what? Everything's gonna be all right and okay.
Hi, everybody. How you doing? It's Ed and
Krista.
We have this excellent guest here today who's all the way from Victoria, BC, and she's been in real estate for the past 15 years and an entrepreneur and has had some other businesses as your path has wound. And you're gonna share some really cool information about what you're doing now, like where you were with a traditional brokerage for the past, I guess, 10 years, you were saying, and how you've kind of changed your direction. And, you know, we're all small business owners, entrepreneurs. And so it's great to get your take on it, because a lot of people go, okay, a realtor or people that are in real estate, you know, how does that work, right? So thank you very much for coming on our show, Patricia. We really appreciate it.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, thank you. And I'm super excited to be here. I think a lot of people kind of go into real estate thinking it's a ready-made kind of business for them to just implement. And I think a lot of times along the way, you realize that you have to flex your entrepreneurial muscles. You have to start building something for yourself that's very different from what everybody else out there is doing, or you may actually get lost in the wash of all the thousands of realtors out there. So I'm excited to share the entrepreneurial angle of real estate.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And for our guests who are watching or listening, this is a really special podcast for me because me and Patricia used to be like BFFs, like years and years and years ago, in like grade seven. Maybe grade seven.
Yeah. We were just so little.
We were. And I moved away and we lost touch. But the cool thing about, Facebook is, I guess, I have watched you over the last few years.
Yeah.
And seen you evolve. And I see how you market yourself in the industry. And I have to tell you, I even have realtor friends, in our city, who I've often, you know, when they talk about rebranding, I've often shown your stuff to, because you just touched on that point, how sometimes you think, well, I'm just going to be a realtor and I'm going to have all these houses to sell. But like any business, I think the marketing is very important. The marketing is really what is going to attract people to you and differentiate you from other people in the market. And I have to say, you do a really good job at it. Like, there's a real good feel for the person of who you are. I know you personally. I don't think you've changed that much. I mean, some stuff, yes. We've all matured, right?
We've grown. We're so mature. Yes. Yeah.
But I mean, like, your heart and your creativity and your personality is from my perspective, the same. And it really shows through your marketing. So you're doing an awesome job with that.
Thank you. Well, thank you. And right back at you. I think that's why I really gravitated to wanting to sort of connect as business women, you know, and business partners to business partner. I know Greg's not here right now. Anybody that knows us will laugh at the fact that Greg's not here right now, because they can just see him shying away from the camera. But he's
3 feet away, isn't he?
Yeah. And well, actually he's at the office managing, you know, and that's exactly it. He's very into the mechanics and like the dynamics of things. I tend to do like a lot of the like larger picture, forward thinking 5 years down the road kind of stuff. And then I'll tell Greg, and then he'll be like, okay, well, here's the steps you need to take today if we're going to get there in 90 days, a year, 5 years out.
That is awesome, because, you know, now that we're working together in business, mm-hmm. where we kind of ran our own separately, we are like trying to figure out our roles in that sense.
Right.
And one thing I find that's kind of interesting is like, I'm trying to mold him to in some ways where I'm like, yeah. well, this is how I think and how I do it. So this is how you should do it. And vice versa. But what's right. becoming more apparent is like, we both have like our own very strong traits.
Yes.
And it's cool to kind of see that we're evolving into that. And we talked about this before we started recording, but Ed was never very visible on camera either. So we totally understand that, Greg. And
we miss you.
Yeah, we miss you.
We miss you, Greg.
Yeah, represent.
He's going to go so red just at the fact that we mentioned his name this many times.
I was actually wondering this last night when I was thinking about the interview. I was like, I wonder if like he just has more of the back end kind of hands on the business or what his role is. But cool. So can you tell us a little bit more about like your real estate journey? I know that you've recently, you know, had a hard decision leaving a brokerage that you were with, moving in another direction. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we were talking about like our career paths and the different things. So yes, I've been in real estate for almost 15 years now. It started off in Edmonton working for a large builder, Landmark Master Builder. And I started working kind of in their sales centers. Learned a ton about construction, and I thought that was it. I was just going to sell and sell at sales centers for, you know, the rest of my life. And then about 2 years after that, it was like, that got too small. That world got too small. So I got licensed, still working out of Edmonton. And then Greg and I came out to beautiful Victoria, fell in love with this place. And we're like, okay, 9 months later, we were out here. Like, we wanted to move. And as you know, Greg and I have always been self-employed. He did construction. I sold real estate. And we knew that we were going to be starting over, you know, 5 years of building our business in Edmonton, where all of our sphere of influence and our friends and family were. We knew that if we didn't just like take the plunge and like make it happen, we just wouldn't have done it, because you get more and more kind of entrenched, I guess, in, you know, your business. So we just decided to like get it done and make the move. And we did it right in time for a big global recession. It was 2008. Timing was good. Yeah. So not only did we have to kind of show up in Victoria and build our businesses from the ground up, but we also had a lot of, we just really had to bootstrap and pound the pavement, because the economic times were so uncertain. So we sold our house and our savings and everything. We were just kind of nervous about maybe splurging as much on some of the traditional advertising and marketing that we would have done if the economic times were a bit better. And I think that honestly made us stronger and more resourceful as business people in the end. I think if anybody could bootstrap a business and just say, okay, yeah, sure, I've got a big marketing budget, but what if I didn't? What if I didn't know anybody in the town I was going to do business in, right?
Oh, I love it.
How are you going to innovate, right?
How are you going to innovate? What are your actual resources? So we did a lot of back to basics, old school, face-to-face, belly-to-belly networking. I think I was networking like 4 or 5 days a week when we first got here. First of all, to meet people, because we didn't know anybody. And then to kind of get, you know, identify the climate, figure out what the niches were here too. Because actually that's something I don't think a lot of realtors necessarily think about in the beginning. But it's like, if you think you're servicing the whole market segment, you're actually not servicing anyone and you're not speaking to anyone.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Right. That's really entrepreneur 101. So we really had to be like, okay, first of all, we don't have the marketing dollars. You know, we're not Coca-Cola. We can't just reach everybody on the planet. So let's really get dialed in. Let's really get honed in and figure out who we're going to speak to and how we're going to do as much business as possible, as quickly as possible, and get that cash flow flowing right away.
Yeah.
Bootstrapping. I mean, it's like on a smaller scale, but when I decided to stay home with the kids, I wanted something to do for myself, and I started my boutique, and it was very much that way. And I can, to a fault, sometimes be like too creative in the sense where I'm like, let's make this hard.
Totally. Oh, I know that headspace.
Yeah. Way too easy.
No, like I am.
Let's shut this down. It's too easy.
But at the same same time, like you said, you actually learn a lot of valuable things throughout that process that will actually help you sustain when maybe, you know, the market isn't necessarily in your favor, right?
I got to go back to what you said, and I think it's a key point, and it transcends real estate or being a realtor or in a niche. You know, just thinking of my agency days where we've had realtors that would advertise and they'd be like, yeah, I'm going to do a bunch of bus benches or I'm going to do a bunch of billboards. I'm going to do direct mail. Well, the ones that seem to be really successful, and I think of this one lady who actually went on to be, I forget what you call it when you're like a newbie and you win the award for the year for volume, but she literally was like, I am going after the 25-year-old, like, you know, first-time home buyer. Like, she was really honed in. This is who I want to reach. And knocked it out of the park her first year. And I think a lot of people in that are realtors or in real estate, they're like all over, right?
Yeah. And they're afraid. They're like, well, I want to do the downsizers, and then I want to do the luxury market, and then I want to. And you're talking totally, completely different languages to all those people. Yeah. You can't advertise to a luxury multi-million-dollar homeowner the same way that you can advertise to a first-time homebuyer that's 25. They're about to buy a condo, and they've never done this before. Yeah. So your marketing is actually not advertising to either person because you're not speaking to anybody the right in the language they need to be spoken to. Totally agree. I think that's huge. Yeah, and hugely lacking. So sort of fast forward, that was kind of our humble beginnings in Victoria. And now we are at a place where we've been growing and building our business here for the past almost 10 years. We did take a bit of a break and a segue in the middle, but and then we're, and so now we're at a place where, you know, this year we're at 40 million in production. We've got a small team of agents, buyer's agents who are super dialed in as well. They're extremely well coached and trained, and they're dialed in, and a really wonderful, thriving office with the right culture and the right people working to serve our clients. And so, yeah, that's been sort of our real estate journey. And even though it's a real estate business, I think it's very much entrepreneurial as well.
I love hearing you say these things because this is exactly like where our mind is and what we've been plugged into, you know, learning, and really it translates across all businesses and all niches, right? And it's just so important to I think understand that. I know there was this guy, sorry, I'm jumping over here, but I wanted to kind of hear your take on it. Probably about a year ago, he's not a realtor, but he was selling his property himself, and he basically did it through a messenger bot, and it was actually really cool what he did, and he put it out there, and he got like all these leads, and he ended up selling his house for like, you know, $10 in Facebook advertising. And I kind of watched him because I'm friends with him, and he's actually in the States, and I went through the bot because I'm just like, I like to see how things are working. And there was some controversy, right? Like people were like, well, why don't you just hire a realtor? And he did this live, and he was like, maybe a little forceful in his saying, but he was like, why would I hire a, he's like, I reached out to some realtors in my area, and he's like, I had to dig and find them, right? He's like, they're going to make this amount of money on commission, but they don't even invest in themselves to market to me. Right. So people kind of went back and forth, and he had a really good point with that. And I'm not saying it to knock. And I think sometimes realtors or business owners just don't understand the power of marketing, but clearly, obviously there's a need for it, right? People are buying and selling houses all the time. As a business owner, it really is our job to find who needs our services. What are their pain points? How can we help them, and how are we going to get in front of them?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. In a huge way. Yeah. In a huge way. So I don't know this particular example. I'm actually going to check it out a bit more. I think that is very interesting, but I completely agree. Like even sometimes I'll see people spend a lot of times like getting the perfect headshot to put on their business card, or like, you know, just looking for a lot of kind of traditional methods, like you guys are talking about the bunch benches and stuff like that. And they kind of make me laugh, like when people have like graffitied on mustaches and stuff like that to them. And I think you're right. I think it's our job now to prove to people that, A, we have the value. If you couldn't even find me, how am I supposed to get in front of you and tell you that I'm going to market your property to the highest ability out there, right? So I think that you do make a good point. And I don't think everybody knows all of the steps how to do it. And I think that's also kind of, I don't want to say flaw because it's not the word flaw, but maybe like a gap in the industry.
I think that's a huge gap. Absolutely. And that's, I don't think it's anybody's fault, because of course, any business owner, if they knew that this, you know, these steps or whatever would help them. But I mean, I don't know, but when you become certified as a realtor, I imagine it's not, you don't go into depth on, you know, the business and marketing stuff, right? So
It's kind of a sink or swim thing, right?
Sorry?
You get your license and it's sink or swim. You have to go out and do whatever you got to do to try to, you know.
So how did you figure this out? Like, do you have mentors, or is this just something naturally to you?
So lots of trial and error. At my house, we have a joke called graduation from the School of Hard Knocks, right? So we're like, oh, we just did another, graduated from another level of the School of Hard Knocks. I mean, there's a lot of trial and error, investing money into strategies and then seeing how they work. We did a lot of masterminds. And so our philosophy is always like, if you're not the dumbest person in a room, then you're in the wrong room. So we wanted to always be in rooms where everybody else was more successful than us, and we could learn and kind of gravitate towards that.
Yeah.
Well, learning off, absolutely. Mentorship is number one. If you can get coaching, the right coaching is also huge. Depending on where you're at in your career and how much resources you've got, you can do paid or, you know, join different masterminds.
Yeah.
And then watching other people, like you were saying online, also Krista, like seeing what worked and what didn't, and then testing it out in our markets as well. And lots of education. We read, you know, we're reading like a business book a week right now. Like, and that's, it's been the case for a long time. Millionaire Real Estate Agent by Gary Keller is a great place for agents to start. The One Thing by Gary Keller is a great place for anybody to start who gets easily distracted and needs to like focus up. And you know, and all kinds of other kind of materials and resources. So just having a commitment to learning and having a learning mindset all the time and constantly looking for ideas. If you hit a wall, don't get discouraged. Tell yourself what you need to tell yourself. Self-talk is a big thing that entrepreneurs, I think, need to master. You had a bad day, get back up the next day and go, okay, what resources are out there to help me remove this roadblock so I can keep moving forward?
Yeah.
Awesome.
What you just said is critical, and I think it's missed a lot of times is, you know, either the mentorship, and I'm relating back what you're saying, just thinking years ago where I have had mentors and then really was sucking up a lot of information and learning. And then somewhere along the line, I kind of stopped. It was almost like, not with purpose, but it's like, oh yeah, I know what I'm doing.
Right.
And one thing I've gained from Krista is, no, we need to be in mastermind groups. We need to be learning constantly. And then having that with purpose and habit is huge to actually absorb more and more information and go, oh my God, I didn't know that. Or, oh, holy crap, right? The way you're doing it isn't necessarily the perfect way, right? So, you know, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, I mean, I'd say the last 2 years, I've really been plugging into learning from, especially online, it's very easy to start comparing yourself to people, right?
Yes.
You would understand this, you know, how many likes you have or views does not correlate to how much money's in your bank account, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we can all make things look very beautiful and perfect online when really it's the back end of a business that is the engine that's going to really be the profit, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I, over the years, I guess, have got stuck too, where I'm like moving along and I'm strong and doing my business. And then I see someone else doing something. Then I start thinking, oh, I should do what they're doing. And I have to say, the only time I've ever gotten off track and I've seen my revenue directly affected is when I started doing that. Right? Because you don't see the back end of stuff. So then I made this switch where I'm like, why am I trying to, you know, do, or why do I have in my head that these people are doing it right. That's so silly. Like, I'm a business owner. I know if the back end's not working, it's nothing. You know, I'm going to seek out and find people who are 10 steps ahead of me. And I want to learn from them, you know? Yeah. And it's been huge, like, for our growth, you know, personally, right? And in business as well. So,
totally.
So
tell us more about the new real estate structure you're in, because it sounds really cool where it's more facilitating
growing you as
and retirement and, you know, all of your kind of support side.
Totally. Well, and so this kind of came out of, you know, we'd grown the real estate business really to a point where it became very profitable and large volume of transactions. And then, you know, we kind of realized, though, it doesn't matter how much you grow your business. If you're not setting up other streams of income, you're always still going to be kind of tethered to it. And you're always going to be chasing the next transactions, and never really setting up a way for you to kind of back out or have any kind of exit strategy, or even to have your income be building while you're not working every single day or while you're on vacation and stuff like that. So that was kind of the piece that we were really trying to solve for our business. And we were doing it in different ways, like adding team members or, you know, doing even more deals and doing even more sales. And then we made the difficult decision to go from our old brokerage to eXp, because it was the first brokerage that actually started solving these problems for the agents. And that was huge for us because, I mean, we know what it's like there to be on the ground level, grinding, pounding the pavement, belly to belly. Yeah. And the old brokerage models were set up to kind of just encourage you to grind more. Like, oh, if you don't have enough money in the bank, well, just grind more then. You know what I mean? Like, what's the big deal? And it wasn't taking into account your health, your work-life balance, the fact that maybe you want to have one Sunday a year at home with your kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
all those things. And so when we came across eXp, we came across it about a year and a half ago. We researched it for a long time because we were actually happy where we were and we loved our old kind of brokerage family. But then when we realized that there were stock options, like you actually got stock for what you were doing every single day, every time you hit landmarks, you get stock options. There's residual income that you build up every time you're actually doing transactions. And that's when we realized, like, this brokerage actually took the problems that most realtors were facing and that the old brokerage models weren't even really dealing with. They were kind of sweeping it under the rug and solved these problems for agents. And that really meant to us that they cared about what we're out there doing every single day. Like, the fact that they took the time to solve this really made us feel like, you know what, we've got to make the move to this company, because otherwise we're always going to be on a transaction treadmill and there was never going to be a way to get out of that.
So, sorry, I'm not really familiar with eXp. Yeah. Like, are they new to...
Yes.
They are. Yeah. Okay. Because I'm like, what? I feel like I should know.
No, they are definitely new, and especially new in Canada. So they've literally been in our market area for about 4 weeks. So even when we were going down to the States and researching it and masterminding with it, actually, we're going down to New Orleans on the 18th to go to the new next eXp con. So it's been in the States. They, about 2 years ago, they had 2,500 agents, and now they're up to 15,000 agents.
Wow.
So they're huge. It's explosive growth. Because, I mean, agents are starting to see this, you know, these other models that are there for them. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's beyond, you know, just buying a revenue property or buying a property and investing. Like, this is stuff that's building on every single transaction that you're doing. You're already out doing this. What other revenue streams and pillars can you build while you're out doing it? And they've solved those problems for agents.
Yeah, which is totally amazing. So it kind of becomes a no-brainer of why. Yeah. Ship, but also, like, I would imagine that the skills that they're teaching you are skills that you can, you know, no matter what career path you chose, or if you had other businesses, what could also use. So that's awesome. And even just to have that community, right, of like-minded, I guess realtors who understand and get it, because I guess everybody would be at different levels as well. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. It's like creating your own ecosystem with it, right?
Whoever set that up really was looking at it from your point of view in that whole, because I always thought, you know, like, I've known quite a few realtors and it just seemed like there was this sink or swim, and the attrition is
like
huge.
You're on your own, but you're not.
Totally. Yeah,
you're on your own, but you got to pay tax every month.
Well, that's it, and you got to pay your brokerage fees, and you got to pay the franchise fees.
I liked what you said about the transaction treadmill, because it was kind of one of my issues with my previous career. Is you're not affecting your why. It's like always the transaction treadmill. It's like, okay, what's the next thing? It's like, where's the future, right? You need to be able to say, okay, I'm building the pillars for my future, and see that. You know, you can have the entrepreneurial bug and be driven, but you get to a point where you're like, okay, I'm seasoned enough here to realize, okay, I need more, you know, like more to it than your business per se, you know?
Absolutely. And the reminder of why you're grinding every day, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, why aren't you at home with your kids, or, you know, why are you working every weekend for, you know, the next few days? I mean, I know a lot of agents that work 7 days a week for a few weeks on end, right? So when you're doing that, you got to have your why, like you said, that's huge.
I got to say, like, entrepreneurs definitely are their own breeds once you start. Like, for me, I struggled a lot before when I worked in the corporate world, I struggled a lot with feeling like I was never fulfilled, right? And I never understood until I got on the entrepreneur journey. And then I started realizing, oh my God, there's nothing wrong with me. It's just, I think different, right? And one of the things is, like, as entrepreneurs, what moves us forward is, you know, momentum. And in order to, like, we have to stay in that momentum to keep going all the time. It's like we're always, you know, chasing that. So it sounds like that company has lots of different resources and stuff to keep you in that too, which is totally awesome.
Yeah. Absolutely. So maybe tell us one of your tips. If someone was getting into real estate, what would you advise them, or a tip or something, if they were thinking of becoming a realtor
and getting into the industry?
Yeah,
totally. Well, I mean, obviously with this new company, I think it's a game changer. I think really evaluating what your brokerage is going to bring to you, and understanding that it's a relationship that you've got with your brokerage. The realtor is the frontline salesperson. You're going to be the one that's out there really pounding the pavement. And I think a lot of people here, you know, you're going to get support and you're going to get education. And that's why your splits are so high, because all of these things that we offer you. And I would say, if you feel, even for a minute, even if you're only, you know, 60 to 90 days out and those promises aren't being fulfilled, look for the right opportunities. You know, be flexible and be able to evaluate whether or not you're in the right opportunity. Because I do see people, I talk to people all the time that, you know, it's 2 years later, or, you know, it's 16 months later, and they're like, well, I'll just, you know, hopefully that, you know, I'll get all the things that I was promised in the interview stage. And if it's not happening like the first week, it's probably not going to happen. The culture isn't set up and the systems and strategies aren't set up. And that's a common thing that I hear from people. And then, I mean, yeah, get mastermind, coach, mentorship the second you decide to become a realtor, like, bar none. Don't worry about trying to figure things out. Real estate's actually not an overly complicated profession. But people do try so hard to reinvent the wheel over and over again. And I don't know, I'm not sure what it is. I mean, I've fallen prey to that too, but it's like, get the right mentorship from day one. You'll save yourself so much time and money.
That's great advice. There's also something to be said about, you know, the trail has already been blazed. So don't reinvent it, right? Especially in that industry, right? Like, it's okay to be creative and all that kind of stuff, but it's been done over and over and over again. There's a system, just follow it, right?
Well, Darren Hardy, success editor or creator of Success Magazine, that's what he says, success leaves clues, right? So he's a guy that spent his whole life interviewing really highly successful people. And success does leave clues. So if you're talking to the right people, you'll be able to pick up on what they did well. And even they'll be honest about what didn't work for them, so you can avoid those pitfalls too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Which is huge. I mean, especially in real estate, like picking a certain way of advertising and driving out awareness and realizing that it was completely off the mark, and you can invest so much money and get no return whatsoever.
Yeah.
It could be a critical move, right?
You know? Totally. Totally.
And it sounds like you're saying too, like, if you're at a brokerage firm and you're not feeling the love, because I could see somebody doing it for a half a year and going and getting just kind of dejected and it's like, oh, I can't do this. And it could really be the chemistry of the team they're with and the brokerage firm they're with. And really, it doesn't have to be that way. They could go mm-hmm. somewhere else and find somebody to work under that might give them more value, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say look for culture sharing and people who are generous with their time and generous with their information, for sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I feel like I know this answer, but I want to see what you're going to say. Why would you say that you're so successful in your industry where others may have failed?
Oh, I think there's some pig-headed determination in there. I'm too stupid to let myself fail. I just keep pounding right back at it.
Love that.
Yeah. I think that's probably the biggest one. Like I was very determined to figure this out. And like I was saying earlier, success leaves clues. So I know that other people have really mastered this industry and have done huge things with it to the point where they're, you know, big into charity and they're able to reinvest in their communities to the point where they've got generational wealth and income that's really impacting the people around them, their families, their community. So I was like, well, if they can do it, why can't I do it? Right. Yeah. And really, okay, got to keep figuring it out. Obviously my cake recipe isn't totally fine tuned yet. So let's keep going.
Love it.
No, and that's all part of it. I would say a lot of people give up when they're just so close, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Part of it is to keep going and growing. And like I said, I think you're doing a fantastic job from over here anyways.
Well, thank you.
You're like becoming my favorite person again.
We might have to come to Victoria to just check on things.
Please do. And come in January.
What's that?
Yeah. Come in January when there's like a bunch of snow and then come visit us and maybe we'll get some new neighbors soon.
We have snow right outside right now.
Oh man, I wish I could show you how sunny. I think it's about 15 or somewhere between 15 and 18 right now.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Victoria is a beautiful place.
Yeah, being a Brett. So can I ask you guys a final question as well as we're kind of going through this, because I feel the exact same way about you guys. And, you know, that's why I really wanted to come on here and talk with you guys and talk about, like, you know, husband and wife, you guys are working. What would you say makes your guys's balance really work?
See, I told you, you always wait.
Balance.
See, I'm better on my toes. you know what? Like, to be 100% transparent, we are still figuring that out, right? Since August that we are both now, you know, full-time, every day working together. Kids as well. So there's another piece to the equation. And
yeah, totally.
You know what? What we are finding, obviously, is number one, we talked about coaches and mentorship. So we have that buckled down. So having accountability, and for us, it comes down to systems and really getting clear on our roles. Communication. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're closer now than we have been.
Communication is huge.
Yeah.
I would say we are getting closer in a sense, where we're communicating about things we didn't communicate about before,
right?
Which is really cool because this is like both now, like our baby, right? Where before we had our separate babies almost.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That was exactly like Greg and I. Yeah.
Right. Like we're trying to grow a life together, but separately. So, you know, all of that takes your energy and all that stuff. Yeah. And at the end of the day, there's nothing left. And sometimes, like, you know, so now it's like we have a common thing to talk about, to work on, to like passionate about. So it's really cool. It was scary, like the thought of us working together. And I think we put it off for a long time because we were both scared that like this is like going to make or break us in a sense.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
But it does feel like we're getting stronger, and it's like, wow, it's another piece of our relationship that we haven't explored, and it feels very unstoppable.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, like you really start to understand the definition of like a power couple.
Yeah. And
how much that gels. And I know for us, like, so Greg and I have been working together for about 2 years now, but yeah, you're right. The first 6 months were an adjustment and went from like never seeing each other to like always seeing each other.
I asked you, no.
Go take a bath, please. No. Leave me alone. Right.
Totally. But I will say, like, over time, one thing that we really feel has been reinforced over and over again is that nobody is going to be as invested in our business as we are.
Yeah.
And so you've always got like your top person in your corner at all times. They're, you know, they're in it for the long haul.
Yeah.
And for the same goals. Exactly. Yeah. Which is pretty awesome. It's a great dynamic.
You know, we also, like, honestly, one of the reasons we started this podcast is because we wanted to kind of document that journey and talk to people to bring transparency to that. Mm-hmm. And then also talk to other people, you know, who, even if they're not working together, just to bring light to the dynamic of someone who is an entrepreneur, someone who isn't, so you can have a better understanding of them.
Right?
Yeah. Sometimes the other person feels like you're always working, you don't care about us, but it's like, you just can't shut it off because you're not an employee. So like, you don't just leave and it's done. Right.
Yeah.
Totally.
So we actually need to ask you another question.
Last question. Okay.
All right. Lay it on me. Ready?
Well, we just want to know what your superpower is.
Mm-hmm. My superpower. So, my superpower is resourcefulness and resilience. And it kind of relates to the other question a little bit in terms of pigheaded determination, but like, I definitely have the ability to shirk off something that wasn't working and move past it very quickly without, I mean, you know, everybody has their up days and their down days, but for some reason I don't stay in that down place. I just bounce back really quick. And I'm constantly looking for solutions as opposed to being upset by, like, if something doesn't work, that's fine. It didn't work. Let's move on then and find the thing that did work, right? So that's something that I think has helped me kind of survive the peaks and valleys for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah, then that's a really good superpower to have.
Like, probably the best superpower to ever have.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a good tool for sure. Don't wallow. Just let it go. You know what I mean? And success, like you said, Krista, it's just on the other side of that.
It's right
just
there. I swear.
You really?
Yeah. Just take it. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. You just turn a corner and whatever. And I really liked how you talked about kind of old school, kind of pressing flesh. Technically, like, I, you know, somebody asked me the other day about that, like, just even the networking and the cold calling and doing all of that. And at the time, I think I always thought, oh, but actually now I look back and go, I didn't really have a problem with it. It's all about mindset. And you're going, okay, I need to spread out what I'm about and what I'm offering. And, you know, it's pretty cool.
Awesome. Yeah. So if our viewers or listeners wanted to get in touch with you, Patricia, how can they do that? Where should we direct them?
So if they want to get in touch with me, they can email info@katiki.ca.
Okay.
I'm happy to answer any questions. If there's any agents out there that are like, hey man, I just need to talk and brainstorm and I hit a roadblock, anything, give us a call. We probably have been exactly where anybody has been at any given moment.
Awesome.
If you just want to check out the website, it's katiki.ca. And it's just like it's spelt just like it sounds.
Okay. Good luck with that. We will
good put luck with spelling that
in the notes.
We will. And it sounds like you're wanting to pay this forward. You've had mentors and now you're wanting to do that. And that's a huge opportunity for somebody if they're coming in and they're open-minded and are struggling. So that's really nice. Appreciate it, Patricia.
Awesome.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, thanks so much for joining us.
All right.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening. If you liked this episode, please go ahead and leave us a review. Do us a favor as well. Take a screenshot, share this episode on your social media platforms on Instagram or on Facebook with your friends. We would love to have them. And for those of you who might be interested in actually watching the video version of our interviews, head on over to our YouTube channel and just look up Krista and Ed and you will see them there. Now, a couple things I wanted to just let you guys know as well. If there's ever anything that Ed and I can help you with when it comes to marketing and sales, head on over to our website, kristaned.com. There you will find some more information about who we are, what we've done, and the types of services that we can help you with. Our most recent, we have launched our virtual CMO program, which we are so excited about. And another thing that you don't want to miss out on, guys, and this is happening the week of April 30th. We have teamed up with Tony Robbins, Dean Graziosi, and Russell Brunson for a very special launch that is going to change the world. So head on over to our website, check out more information about us, and we thank you again for listening.